And so to business. And in the business news this morning, Australian banks are facing a capital squeeze at home. EBOS opens up another earnings stream, and we'll have the latest from the money markets. Well, big Australian banks may soon have to increase the amount of capital they hold for their operations on both sides of the Tasman. Australia's financial regulators considering changes to its bank capital rules to bring them into line with what's being proposed by the Reserve Bank here. The Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority thinking of making Australian banks increase the capital they hold in reserve, particularly to cover their New Zealand businesses, although they are considering a drop in the capital that the banks would have to hold to cover their smaller businesses. Well, the RBNZ's proposals would make all registered banks double the amount of capital they hold in New Zealand. Dr. Claire Matthews of Massey University's Banking Centre says Australian banks will be rethinking their investments here, given the proposed double squeeze.
This is certainly going to force them to have another look at their investments, and they're going to have to look at how much capital they're having to hold for these investments and make sure that the return that they're getting is sufficient. So they may be happy to continue to have the investment, but then may put costs up so that they get the return that they require, or they may look at reducing the size of their investment and say, well, actually, we don't feel that we need to have that much capital tied up in terms of having an investment in New Zealand. So we're going to downscale our operation, not necessarily get out totally because they would see some value in some aspects of it, but downsize the extent of the operation that they've got here so that they don't have to hold as much capital.
That's Claire Matthews from Massey University's banking sector. Well, pharmaceutical and animal products company EBOS has expanded into the medical device area. The company's bought the New Zealand and Australian operations of LMT National Surgical for $34 million Australian and expects to generate revenue of $40 million Australian, although it won't have a material effect on the current financial year. The company says it gives it another entry point into an $8 billion Australian dollar business and is expected to give the group a 15% return on the capital within 2 years. The company's chief executive, John Cullity, says it's an important first step in building another significant revenue platform in the healthcare portfolio.
We see medical device distribution as being a nice adjacency for the group to move into. We're currently going into the hospital sector with medicines. We have a significant medicine distribution business. We see devices, as I say, a nice adjacency. It will expand our presence in the hospital sector in Australia and New Zealand, and we think that for our level of operations and expertise, it's a market that's very attractive to us.
Is this just an entry, a starting point? Do you expect to acquire more businesses in this sector?
This is a starting point for us. So when we looked at how we would involve ourselves in the sector, it's a buy-in strategy. And our intention there is to add further bolt-on acquisitions over not just this year, but in future years.
Did you look around for a long time? What made you decide on this particular company?
Oh, we've been looking at this particular sector for over 12 months. It's been part of our strategic planning process now for many years, and we were very pleased that opportunity has just recently become available and we were able to act on it.
That's the chief executive of EBOS, John Cullity, talking to Nona Peltier. House prices are forecast to go through the roof next year with low mortgage rates and sweeping capital gains tax issues off the table, for the foreseeable future at least. Latest data from the Real Estate Institute shows prices on the rise again, with an annual rise of 3.6% in the house price index. Westpac New Zealand expects house price inflation to reach 7% next year, which is likely to give the Reserve Bank pause when considering anything more than another rate cut. Some economists think the Reserve Bank will cut the official cash rate by a quarter of a percent next month and possibly twice more next year. But the chief economist at Westpac, Dominic Stevens, says a rapid increase in house price inflation might be reason enough for the Reserve Bank to hold back on further cuts.
Cancelled plans for a capital gains tax and a massive drop in mortgage rates. Both of those things are a red rag to a bull as far as housing markets are concerned. Particularly falling interest rates reliably leads to higher house prices. So I think cancelled capital gains tax, lower mortgage rates were always going to lead to a burst of slightly higher house price inflation. Now, I do acknowledge there are some negatives in the market out there. There's a foreign buyer ban. Net migration is beginning to slow. There have been tax changes as far as investors are concerned. That's why we're only predicting a 7% rate of house price inflation next year. We're not predicting something equivalent to the sort of 14-15% we had back in 2014 and 16.
That's Dominic Stevens, chief economist at Westpac. 5 minutes to seven, you're listening to Business on Morning Report. Well, offshore investment in mergers and acquisitions here has waned slightly in the so far this year, but it remains at a healthy level of interest in New Zealand from foreign investors. Law firm Simpson Grierson's latest report shows $4 billion US dollars worth of deals were funded by foreign investors in the first half of the year, just down from the $4.3 billion US dollars last year. The outlook for investment remains positive, though. The firm's survey of 80 overseas investors finding more than three-quarters plan to make further investment in the next 3 years. Simpson Grierson corporate partner Andrew Matthews says this year's dip lines up with what's happening elsewhere.
That's really been tracking global activities where deal-making may be buttoning off slightly after several years of growth and coming off a peak in 2018. And that's not really surprising when considered against some of the macro worldwide events that is fueling geopolitical uncertainty and a pause of caution, I suppose, from investors.
But the outlook, according to your survey, appears to be quite positive.
Yeah, and that's one of the really interesting things. Our survey reflects the actual opinions and intentions of our offshore investors that we've gone to here. And despite that drop in the volumes that we've seen, the medium-term offshore investor interest in New Zealand remains positive. And 86% of respondents, in fact, expect an overall increase in our M&A market in the year ahead. Ultimately, though, I think the timeframe within which we see the intentions acted on will be driven by a range of factors.
What might those factors be?
Well, I think it's back to the geopolitical factors that we see across the board and timing for their business more than anything else.
That's Andrew Matthews from law firm Simpson Grierson. He was talking to Kim Savage. Let's have a quick whistle along Wall Street. It's stronger. Third quarter reporting season has just started, and the early reports are strong, allaying fears of the economic downturn and feeling the effects of the US-China trade dispute. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up 293 points. That's 1.1%. The NASDAQ has up 1.4%, and the broader S&P 500 1.2%. A bit more modest at home, the top 50 index closed 19 points higher yesterday. 11,045 is where it starts the morning. The New Zealand dollar, it is looking on the back foot again. 62.8 US cents, 93 Australian. It's 49.15 British pence. That's a 12-month low. 0.56 euro, 68.3 Japanese yen, and 4.45 yuan. Brent crude oil steady at $59.40 US a barrel, and gold is down $11.80, just under 1%, $1,481 US dollars an ounce. Very quickly, time to tell you that the Supreme Court will allow ANZ Bank to appeal over its obligation to compensate Taranaki farmers for misrepresenting the risk involved in interest rate swaps sold more than a decade ago. The High Court have recently turned down the claim by Sharon and Stephen Coomey and their family trust for compensation over the way ANZ sold the swaps. The Court of Appeal sent the issue back to the High Court to decide damages. It's now going to end up in the Supreme Court.